Stay tuned for the Man of God shows with Mr. Man.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. I will counsel you and watch over you.
Yeah, this is Mr. Man for the Man of God shows. This is segment number 3. We're just kicking this off. We're trying to present some kind of regular radio show programming that will be renewed at least every Friday. That's Lord willing, of course. It's all up to God. Today I'm on the phone doing the recording from a remote location, so it may sound a little echoey and might sound a little bit like it's in a tunnel, but I'm actually sitting in a pickup next to a busy street talking on the phone. That's how we're recording. Over the years of my experience in following the Lord, I have realized that most people that I've met that are Christians who really want to separate themselves from the world and present a completely different face than the world presents, as far as its desires and its goals and its practices, that those Christians usually find things not to do, and they search the scriptures to discover what the Lord tells them they shouldn't do in order to appear righteous or actually be righteous by His Spirit. So a whole lot of righteousness, as far as the Christian mind is concerned, is a lot of times based on not doing things, in particularly sinning. And depending on where those people are from and how they've been raised and what kind of fellowship they're engaged in, has a lot to do with the types of things that they believe are the most heinous or grievous sins that they should more than likely stop than others. A lot of times the sin that they don't include is pride. And what's happened to modern Christianity, which I call Christianity, and I spell it Krustyanitty, to separate it or divide it from what is really the church that God has created and Jesus Christ is the head of. A system of error, it says in Greek in the New Testament. I call that Christianity. That way people can get a clear idea of where I'm coming from in regard to talking right off the bat, and they'll hear that word crusty, and then they'll understand. Pride is the sin that got the devil in trouble when he was not yet the devil, but Lucifer, a beautiful angel. And he decided that he wanted to, through his skills and his talent, ascend to a place where he was going to share God's throne and be equal with Him. And his main terminology was, "I will ascend." And the willfulness of a person is oftentimes expressed in their desire to have something they can be proud of and do that they can be proud of. And a lot of times the reason Christians stop doing things or trying to stop from sinning is because of their prideful nature. It's not really because they want to express the righteousness of God as much as it is that they want to be seen of men to be righteous, which was one of the main problems with the Pharisees and scribes. They wanted to appear unto men to be righteous, and Jesus said, well, they're like whitewashed tombs. On the outward, they look like they're really clean, but anybody that knows what a tomb is, inside it's full of dead men's bones and all things vile and disgusting. What Jesus really wants his people to do is to be so occupied with him and doing the things that he wants them to do by the power of his Spirit that they won't have time or desire to sin. The real emphasis of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, was that when they were empowered from on high by the Holy Spirit descending upon them, that they could go into all the world with that power, and they could manifest the witness of God to the whole earth by speaking to men the witness that he gave them to speak, with signs and wonders following. Excuse me. It wasn't to stop sinning, which is exactly what God wants us to do, is to stop sinning. And he empowers us to stop sinning. But it was to do something as far as what people often call the Great Commission. But the Great Commission is first and foremost to witness to the Lord, to testify to the Lord that we are his by showing him that we're following him with acts of faith that follow our faith, that follow the words that we speak. So when we say that we're his and we don't do the things that he tells us to do, then he says, I don't see any evidence that you are mine or that you're sincere or serious about being mine. So the main requirement of the Lord in regard to us witnessing to him or testifying to him that we're sincere and followers of him and disciples is the things that we do, not the things that we don't do. And let me reiterate, everything that God wants us to do is to glorify him. Stopping sin glorifies him. But doing his will and having works of faith following glorifies him as well. If you're busy doing works of faith and those works follow and shows that your faith isn't dead, that's how you glorify him. Let me read a scripture from Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And that's the end of the epistle of Mark. And Mark was one of the disciples that he wasn't an apostle, but he was with the apostles. He followed the apostles. I believe that's right. Sometimes my history doesn't come across really accurately, so I have to look it up to check and see if I'm right. But I believe that's the case. He traveled with Paul. I believe he was a nephew of Peter, if I got that right. Anyway, there's so little now compared to when I first came to Jesus, which was when I was 8 years old, and then was baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 15. There's so little now of the things that I saw then that were openly manifest among the saints, that the saints were being renewed in. And that was one of the passages of Scripture, that they understood that God wanted to confirm the word with signs following. And nowadays, all you hear about entertainment, people getting together and entertaining themselves with song and entertaining themselves with good preaching and great messages and even movies and DVDs made by Christians, like as if those are the signs that are supposed to follow and confirm the word. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost is still to empower the saints with the ability to, through the gifts of the Spirit, manifest the power of God on the earth and separate them from other men to show that they're the Lord's. That is a great segment of the manifestation of God's Spirit in the earth that separates the children of God from the children of men, the children of light from the children of darkness. Now, the magicians and the wizards that were in Pharaoh's court, as well as in Nebuchadnezzar's court, the ones that competed with Moses, and the ones that competed with Daniel, they were able to simulate or pretend that certain things were true concerning them being powerful men and being in touch with deities and power from on high and not just natural capabilities. But they couldn't do all of it. They got to a point where they couldn't mask or pretend anymore. There were certain things that they couldn't do. One thing was they could not raise the dead. And Jesus' main testimony to the earth is that he was raised from the dead. And his testimony is in us, that he raised us from the dead. And we have this witness in us that we're his children, because we were once dead in our sins, but he raised us from the dead. That resurrection life, that resurrection power that the Holy Ghost brings into our lives when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit after we're saved, is that resurrection life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." When someone is healed or evil spirits are cast out of them, when someone is miraculously saved from a terrible situation, when all kinds of strange and wonderful things happen in a person's life that just fall into place because God wants to bless them or deliver them from something that has been harassing them or overwhelming them. And in a lot of cases, when it's a Christian that's disciplined and following Jesus, that's a manifestation of power through the gifts of his Spirit that shows that that person is different than people around them. I heard a lady today tell me how her son was one of the luckiest people she ever met. Whenever he engaged in some kind of contest or signed up to win something, very oftentimes he would. And it really boggled her mind how often this would happen. And another man was standing by and saying, "Yeah, similar things have happened to my son in the past." And I said, "You know, I'm, as far as the world goes, I'm just not lucky. I never win anything. I won a transistor radio when I was a child and probably about 8 or 9 years old, but that was it." But Christians don't have to depend on or count on luck. They can boldly come to the throne of grace in time of need. And when people come to Christians and they have a need for healing or anything that has to do with resurrection life, a gift of a word of knowledge is one of the gifts of the Spirit, gift of the word of wisdom, a message in tongues that's interpreted, a prophecy, the gift of speaking in tongues so that they can pray more freely to the Lord without their own knowledge being necessary, so that they don't have to understand what they're praying, that the Spirit intercedes for them. All those things are things that Christians should still be doing on a regular basis. But as I go around and move between different ones here and there that I have encountered, I very seldom ever hear testimony about the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit confirming the Word. But often oftentimes what I hear about is what new movies some Christian group has put out to really encourage people to get saved, and usually family-oriented, and what new book has talked about how people can trust in God for riches and for honor, and seek the things like Abraham had, name it and claim it, power of positive confession, and etc. But the gifts and the manifestation of the Spirit that are evidenced over and over again in the book of Acts that I've seen throughout my life, and many Christians in the late 60s and early 70s when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit expected, and it was evident everywhere, those things have waned and have virtually disappeared from the people that I'm connected with that I notice that call themselves Christians. One brother the other day, he texted me and was sharing with me how to be separate from the world, to come out from the world and be separate from it, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be with you, saith the Lord, like it says in Revelation 18. Very often the things that that particular brother shares with me are concerning things not to do. He specifically had talked to me about a person he knew that had slipped back into the world and began drinking again, and he virtually had the lifestyle of an alcoholic, and there was really no evidence in his life anymore that he was separate from the world, but just a part of it all over again. And those things are well and good that people need to be warned to stop. But believe me, when the manifestation of the kingdom of God is working through your life, through the gifts of the Spirit and signs following and confirming the word, it takes away any desire or consideration of loving the world and the things in the world, because you're so busy being disciplined by the Holy Spirit and not wanting to sin to grieve the Lord or grieve your own spirit, but to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks the hope that is in you, that's concerning the salvation that Jesus gave you, that you don't want to sin, that you do separate yourself from those things that the world has to offer, that you were once in bondage to and embraced wholeheartedly. And one of those things is pride. When you're following the Lord and these things are being manifest through you, and people are being healed, and gifts of the Spirit are actively being evidenced in your life to those who are in need, it's just a wonderful thing that completely takes away from you any desire to try to explain to anyone, look, a lot of this is me. I'm able to do these things, because people really, really know that if you're really following Jesus and these things are true and these things are really manifest through your life, there's no way that a man can actually do and perform those things, which it became clear with the magicians in Pharaoh's court and those that tried to interpret dreams and even come up with a dream from Daniel, in the book of Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar said, well, I forgot the dream. Tell me the dream first, and then tell me the interpretation. And it terrified them. But the Lord was able to give that dream to Daniel because Daniel trusted in him completely. And when Nebuchadnezzar heard the dream and then the interpretation, there was no question in his mind, this man was in touch with one true God, not a liar, not some God that tried to promote the same pride that he evidenced before he was cast out of heaven, which is Satan. So I want to encourage everyone not just to think about the things that they shouldn't do, which is very important that the Lord warns and admonishes us to be separate from the world. I want to encourage everyone to make sure that they search out the scriptures and find out all those things the Lord wants them doing, including being baptized in the Holy Spirit and walking in the power of Christ in these last days, because there are many needy people, and the people that are called by the Lord after His name are the most needy of all. They recognize it, and being lifted up with pride is not a way to live your life. You need to humble yourself before the Lord, and He will exalt you in due time, but He won't do it through His Holy Spirit. He won't use His Holy Spirit to make you look great and make you look desirable to other people. He'll make Jesus look that way to them through your life. So that's, once again, the Man of God Shows. I thank you for listening. God bless you all. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen.
The beginning of wisdom.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Lord.